just the distance, it's the ride. We're running together, side by side. Run strong, keep the pace. The P99, feel the race. Crowds cheer, lifting high. Run together, reach the sky. From early days when it felt so tough, now you're moving, can't get enough. Every step, every mile.
Hello and welcome to your weekly dose of the Point 99 podcast. You might just have noticed the difference to the intro music when you hit play and wondered what the hell was going on. All will become clear, or hopefully will, when we get to the guest interview for this episode. Hopefully you liked it though. Let me know what you thought. It might become a permanent fixture in some way or another, or even one of the several other tracks I've had knocked out. They might become little features throughout future episodes, maybe at the end, or I might just upload them to socials to see what you guys think and get a little bit of feedback. Of course, this is episode 3 of season 6. We still have roughly 4 weeks until little Steve is due, but that's almost like a Garmin predicted date. Honestly, it could literally be on any day, so we're enjoying every episode we can get out to you just now. While we're on the topic of making the most of every episode, let's remind everyone on what we're all about here at The Point 99, or give new listeners a taste of what they've been missing out on. The Point 99's podcast is a running podcast for every runner, regardless of ability or experience. The show's mission remains, as always, to help everyone along whatever road their journey is taking. It might be through relatable guests with their unique and inspiring stories, experiences, and the lessons that are shared throughout all of it. Hopefully, by sharing these stories and experiences, you might feel inspired and motivated to do amazing things, smash goals, and be the best running version of you. Unlike the usual process before we get to the guest interview, I've decided not to do a showcase of what the wider community have been getting up to. Instead, I'd like to direct anyone keen on a weekly digest for this week to pop over to our pals at the Insta Runner Roundup podcast, where they've done a great job of looking at the two main events from last weekend, the men's and women's 10K that was in Edinburgh and the Falkirk Half Marathon at the Kelpies. I can't not shout out one absolute rock star though, our pal Emma Coffey from episode 10 of season 5. That's right, the guest that was in the last episode of last season, better known as Emma Runs Ultras, who was on a bit of a mission with the half marathon, absolutely smashing it and bagging herself another podium, unsurprisingly, at the Kelpies, being an absolute machine. If you haven't listened to the episode or primarily Emma's story and why she's on a bit of a focused mission with that distance, be sure to cue that one up next. She's an amazing woman, and that's an amazing chat. I really did love having that chat with Emma. Even without doing a formal shout out though, we're still looking at the community as I look ahead to the coming few days and the Baxter's Loch Ness Marathon that's taking place this weekend. The nervous energy really is building now, and I can't wait to see what magic I can pull out of the hat, if any at all. Regardless of any times, I am really excited to be catching up with some pals as we meet up with not only a few familiar faces, but also some new faces. I mentioned it last week, but I am welcoming Stuart Runs A Lot, that he does, Stuart Rowan, to the Highlands with my lovely besties, Lee Campbell and Elodie Petit. That does mean that we're having a little bit of a 0.99 guest catch-up meal the night before with the four of us. So I'm really looking forward to that. A little bit of pizza, pasta, get some carb loading in and just have a good laugh while we're doing it. The opportunity is also there to meet some legends with the Team Alexis Rose crew. So I am really looking forward to seeing those guys, meeting a few new people and just wishing them all the very best with the events over the whole of the festival, the 5K, the 10K and the marathon. Finally, I do also get to meet Peter, as I think she's going to join us on the bus to the start line so she can beat me up with her baguette for constantly saying her name wrong, both intentionally and unintentionally. I honestly at this point cannot remember what is a joke and what isn't a joke on how to say her name, so I am looking forward to finally getting it from the lady herself. And maybe in the future the episodes might sound a little bit different when I say her name, but well, maybe not. Maybe just continue the joke, we'll see. Event wise, or for my run, it is really now down to the fates on taper. Not that I've had any real form of structure for the last few weeks. We'll just turn the cards come Sunday morning and see what they hold. Garmin's ever the optimist and is predicting a 3-hour, 15-minute marathon after the last 4 weeks of minimal activity. I think that's really optimistic. I do feel strong. I do feel fit. I have had a sports massage just to get me in good shape for the event. But personally, I don't think I could pull anything as good as that out of the bag. Maybe a 3:30. I would like to get a PB, as I said last week. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I get to run with Stuart. I'd get to have a great wingman there. And yeah, we'll just have to see what happens on the day. In some respects, though, I am a little bit disappointed not to be running the 10K event. I loved it last year, and that was me taking it easy, getting ready for Amsterdam and cruising to a PB there with having Little John White as my Mr. Miyagi, getting me a PB and just feeling great at the end of it. I would really love to have been doing that again this year, to really use what is a fantastic and fast course for gaining PBs, to see what I could do 10K wise. There'll be future years for that and other events. For now, it is about getting this one marathon for the year bagged and then maybe taking a little bit of a break from eventing for a while, but not running. We all know why. It was on episode one and I've already mentioned it in this episode. I am also a little bit disappointed because it does mean I am missing out on an opportunity to run with Elodie once again, but also Lee as well. They are both taking part in the 10K and I know they'll have a blast. Without much to say on community though, I'm really handing it over to the Insta Runner Roundup guys on this one, and with Baxter's on the tip of my tongue, it might be the best opportunity to segue over to this week's guest. I absolutely loved chatting to this absolute rocket of a lass, an all-round legend in my books. I'll, as always, let the intro do the talking as we turn up the doof-doofs, drop the bass, and welcome this week's superstar DJ to the show. Today, I have the absolute pleasure of being joined by someone who was a big part of my morning routine for several years. Alongside her then partner in crime, she was one of the voices that helped in waking not just me, but many others up across the Highlands, or keeping us company during our morning commute. on the MFR Breakfast Show. These days, you can catch her on an even wider spread network over on Heart Scotland, keeping weekends lively or sliding in between your favourite Channel 4 programmes for some playful banter and informative factoids. But how I hear you ask, does that connect with what we do here? Well, over the years, she's become a staple at the Baxter's Festival of Running, our main topic for today's episode, being the voice of reassurance and guidance for all of those taking part in the 10K race, and occasionally stealing the mic to cheer the marathon runners over the line. Now, when it comes to her own fitness, she'll be the first to tell you it's been a bit of a love-hate roller coaster. Lately, though, she's been killing it with a new transformation journey on a road heading towards Hydrox, deviating slightly in order to tackle a running challenge or two. I've been looking forward to this one for a while, so let's dive into it all with a professional talker who will hopefully teach me a trick or two as we welcome the fabulous and always delightful Grace Nicol to the show. Welcome, Grace.
Oh, thank you so much for that amazing introduction. I feel so, so good. It's a great motivation to start off with.
I think that's one of my better ones for a while.
I loved hearing it. I was like, oh my God, I'm amazing. No, but thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on. I know you're really busy in between work, all the stuff you've got going on, and also training as well. So I think I should be thanking you more than you thanking me.
Well, listen, you've given me a bit of a break, because I'm not at the gym right now and I'm not at work. So it's an absolute pleasure.
Actually giving you a rest time. That's good. That's good. Right. So I think anyone in the Highlands is well aware who you are, but being that our audience is so widespread, could you please start off by giving a little bit of background about who you are, but also a little bit about fitness growing up? Were you particularly interested in it? Maybe the last time that you really gave running a go before your current journey, and then we'll kind of continue from there onto the world of Hydrox, the really sweaty person's club, and kind of move on from around a bit there after you're happy.
It's actually quite interesting now that you say this, because this is a little bit like therapy. It's like you try to join the dots of like how the two things that you do in life first of all came together. And when you look back, I actually realized that my love for music and radio, which is what I do for a living, actually comes hand in hand with my fitness journey. So when I was really, really young, I was extremely overweight. Like, everybody tends to have a bit of puppy fat when they're younger, but I had a lot of it. And it was, I suppose, through the radio, because my mum was a helper in Campbelltown at the local radio station there. And I would always help her when she was helping somebody else. She would maybe answer the telephones and I would take the notes through. And there was a kind of Gaelic programme she helped with. But straight after the Gaelic programme would be a young lad called Fraser. And he would do like a dance show, like modern music. And I loved it. It was like your proper trance anthems. I mean, talk about community radio, going from Gaelic music straight into trance anthems. And I think it's the kind of music that drew me closer to fitness. So it's really weird to look back on your life and be like, actually the two come hand in hand. But radio is obviously my love, music and chat. And I started off, like as I said, from the community station. I went to university and studied radio and broadcast, and then actually got a job in it, which is really bizarre. That like, that's very hard to come by. And yeah, I love chatting. I never ever thought it would actually happen. I thought I'd maybe go do my radio degree and use it to some extent. Like, I know a lot of people that maybe go on to become lecturers, or they maybe teach English or something where the two are linked, but I never once thought I'd actually manage to get a job in radio until somebody told me I couldn't. And I think once that happened, I got a bit of like fire in my belly, so I made sure that I definitely got a job in radio. And it was, again, just going places, chapping doors, asking for people to listen to demos that I'd pieced together. And again, it was like dance music that I'd always started with when I was at uni. I'd have my dance show just like that guy did. And it was always a passion of mine, was to have like a dance space show. but obviously you can't have everything. So I kind of started small, went from community station to student radio to local radio, which is a little bit different. You actually get paid for that. And then from small local stations to a bigger local station to now a national. And that has spread over the course of since I was 16. So we're talking 16 years. So it didn't just happen overnight. It's been a long graft, and don't I blooming know it. But when I was younger, like I think just getting into the gym and stuff like that and hearing that kind of music that I love is what made me stay, because I would be listening to the like the proper instance of the music, and it would get you going. It's like any gym class you go to, if the music you that you listen to that's on inspires you and gets your kind of blood going, and you're like, yes, then of course you're going to stay for that class, or you're going to keep running because the music's really spurring you on. So when I was younger, it took me a long time to get into the gym and to get into exercise and fitness, but it was the music that kept me going. And I don't think I could ever do a run without listening to music now, because imagine going in dry.
I mean, you can't go into a gym and listen to Scary Vore. You need to go in and listen to someone like Scooter.
Yes, Scooter is actually on my playlist for sure. He's making a comeback and everything. But you know that kind of like I don't know. I also had like Eminem in there, and I'm like, this is music that I never thought I'd actually quite like. But if it gets you going and it motivates you, then why not? But yeah, I couldn't imagine doing it without any music now. If my headphones aren't charged, I'm not running. It's as simple as that. I'll not be able to. It's like my legs need my ears in order to keep going.
One day it will come. I mean, you're obviously on a bit of a journey. You said to me not so long ago, you absolutely hate running, you despise it, but it is part and parcel of what you need to do for Hydrox. But if it's going to take a direction that I think it might take, it's like crack. You eventually one day forget your headphones, and it just the blood pumping in your ears takes over. That's your music.
I'll let you know when that happens, right? It might be a while. But you never know. Like, never say never for that, because I, this time last year, would have laughed in your face if you'd said, Grace, see that like 10K that you host, you're going to run that next year. I would have legit, and I know it sounds proper cliche, I'd have said, chase yourself, because I couldn't think of anything worse than running it. Like, genuinely. But I started running in January, and it's not even been a year. It's been just coming up to being about 10 months. And the sense of accomplishment, by the way, I still hate running, but the sense of accomplishment and the feeling that you get once you are complete, or if not even if you get a PB, just if you complete something, you cannot get anywhere else. And that is hand on heart the truth. Like, once you've done the 10K, the marathon, whatever you're running, you finish, you catch your breath, you go and have a shower, and you sit down and you go, geez, oh, I did that. Like, it's done now. It did it what I could do it, because I told myself I couldn't, and I kept going. I didn't stop. And if you got a PB, brilliant. But if you didn't, the fact that you just did it is enough. So it's the weird endorphins that everybody goes on about.
There is a lad locally. He actually coaches the Stoltmans, but it's to do with mobility and stuff. And he's even said, as ripped as he is, he hates the gym, but he loves running just because of that endorphin hit, because of what it does for you. The gym can hit in different ways, lifting weights, but you're always going, you're always wanting to lift bigger, you're always wanting to look nicer. Whereas runners, it's really just complete what you're there to complete. If you get a PB, you get a PB. Now, I chase PBs. I'm a weirdo. But for most people, it is just getting from A to B, and especially a newer runner as well. So you have a coach as well. Did Ian make you start running as part of your
Yes, he
program?
forced me. He told me there was no other way. No, genuinely, he told me in January that if I, because Hyrox wasn't a thing until later on in the year, and I'll need to tell you the story of how that became a thing. But Ian, in general, was my coach for just genuinely kind of losing a bit of weight, toning up, changing my physique and stuff like that. I wasn't happy. And he was like, you need to give running a go because it's portable. You can take it anywhere because it's yourself. Just get yourself a good pair of shoes. It's free. You can do it anywhere. And you can, like, if you're doing something like a 5K, or 10K, it's like anywhere between half an hour and an hour. It can be fit into a schedule really easily. And I remember being like, I can't, and I hand on heart could not run a kilometer in January. I was doing 100 meters stop, 100 meters stop, and just kind of repeating that. And I remember feeling my heart in my throat, being like, I can't, my body is not fit to do this. I am so unfit. I'm going to have a heart attack. And it's when I look back now, I'm like, a kilometer is nothing.
Yeah, but
So easy.
it's making that first step. You must be so proud of yourself. I know last week we had Chris Palamine on. He's been on before. I helped coach him, and it was the same as yourself. It was 100 meters, take a break, 100 meters, take a break. And it was building that up until it was a kilometer. And then it was 2 kilometers, 5 kilometers. And now, off his own back, he's now running 5 kilometers as the minimum. 10 kilometers as his ideal is what he's trying to do. And he's in similar, he's trying to lose weight. And it's been so rewarding to see that development and how far he's come. Do you feel that you're proud of how far you've come so far?
Definitely. And I think that I'm glad I had Ian to guide me, because I would have just gone on full throttle. I would have just tried to run and not stop. I wouldn't have thought about taking the breaks, and that the building can happen and you can get better with taking a little 30-second rest. I would have just gone full welly and then gave up and been like, I don't run, I'm not a runner. Because that was the phrase for a while. I was like, I'm not a runner, I don't run, I just walk quickly, blah, 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 blah. But I needed the guidance. It's a bit like anything, like you just need somebody who knows what they're doing to give you the right direction, and then you kind of have to trust them. And that's a big thing when it comes to coaching, is like you have to put your whole life in these people's hands. And Ian's quite good.
He has told you a big porky pie, though.
Which bit?
The part about being free, it's the one that is going to be the most expensive thing you've ever
Actually,
done.
very good point. I do not want to talk about how much my shoes are, right? No chance. And how quickly you go through these shoes.
Honestly, you don't need to say a word. The listeners know that I'm a Nike Vaporfly Alpha Fly man, and they're not cheap, and they're not the most expensive ones, but. Yeah, mortgage, maybe remortgage something for what you're going to be spending. But
That and a knee replacement as well,
a knee
soon
replacement.
on the cards.
Well, maybe, maybe.
If I'm having one, you're having one, right? Because mine is shot, but it is amazing what a decent pair of shoes can do for your run.
Definitely, definitely. You weren't, and I would just said you weren't entirely unfit though. You've already mentioned you love your doof doofs. You've always been a raver, and we've been connected for a few years now. I've seen all these holidays you're going on, and all the raves you're going to. You have to be, or well, you have to have a certain level of fitness to enjoy that, because you would be a puddle on the floor in some of these clubs, would you not?
Well, actually, I wore my Apple Watch to a rave that I was at not long ago, and I didn't realize just how many calories you actually burn by jumping up and down and dancing. But I think this is a nice transition of what's happening in my life right now. Is yeah, okay, from say the age of 18 to last year, I was a proper raver, party animal. I don't know how many times I've been to Magaluf, probably 11 or 12. And I am a party kind of gal when it comes to holidays and drinking and stuff like that, and your dance music. But it's now kind of crossing over to the point where now I'm addicted to something different. I'm addicted to the fitness side, which kind of has connotations of the party lifestyle. You
Yeah,
know
it
what I mean?
does,
It's
yeah.
like the adrenaline's there, the high energy's there. Like you say, it takes a lot out of you to go on these party holidays, but at the same time, it does with likes of Hyrox and running and stuff like that. But I don't know. See if you're enjoying it, then it doesn't feel like such a chore, does it? And that goes for
Anything
both
joy.
party and running.
Yeah. And it still keeps the love of music as well. You're getting your hit of music that you'd be getting on the rave dance floor, but it's just on your ears as you're having a wee party to yourself running down the.
Exactly. And I kind of use it as a bit of an incentive. Like, I'm going to go on holiday once this is all done. I've got 2 10Ks coming up and my Hyrox. And afterwards, I have my nice big holiday that I'm going to have. And if I can do these things, then that's the reward at the end. The medals is nice, but the holiday will be lovely too.
Before we get to talking a little bit more about Hydrox and the story behind it, and a little bit more about Baxter's as well, your split between various areas just now, because of work. Do you find that beneficial as well then for running, because you're seeing different sites, you're seeing different routes? It's not just the same monotonous route over and over again.
Yes. So first of all, Glasgow City Council, can we just sort out the pavements, please? That's, you don't realise how uneven surfaces are until you start running different places. But I've been everywhere between Stirling, Inverness, Aberdeen recently, Glasgow, Dumbarton. And yeah, I'm seeing so many different routes, which I think is a good thing, because when I'm in Inverness, I'm in Milton of Leys, which has so many inclines and declines, which essentially, yes, makes a harder run. But the sprints, at the end,
yeah.
But then when you come to doing your flat runs, you're stronger because you've built up the muscle from, do you know what, it's nice to mix it up. And also what I've kind of started to notice is sometimes I do my 5Ks and 10Ks and I'm like seeing different things I would never see. I would never usually go a run down the promenade of Aberdeen Beach, you know what I mean? Like I would never go running past Cadonas. I've never seen it before, like but just taking that time to be like, right, Strava's quite good at telling me where's a good run to go on. There's one there. Sometimes I will drive to the run. I'm not going to lie to you.
No,
that I can do it nice, or I could go up Daviot Woods and stuff. But and I see things I've never seen before. And it's all on my own doorstep, whether it's in Glasgow or whether it's in Dumbarton or Inverness. And it's nice to try different places and different things. Otherwise, I would be so bored doing the same thing. Because for a while, I was just in the house in the States. And that wasn't great.
It's maybe something for you to go back to BBC Social, though, and say, I'm now a running tourist, seeing all these sites. You could do a little another new little mini-series for them.
Do not take any credit for that, because I am going to take that and, like you say, run with it.
You should definitely. If you're all over the place, you're seeing things that you might not otherwise see. But it's also, it's taking over. Running is taking over for people like yourself who might not have done it just a few years ago, or especially before COVID. And I suppose that's been the main catalyst for a lot of people. Right. So you mentioned as a story then about Hydrox. So we're going to start looking about how that's come about, where you're going, when is it? I'll let you crack on with that. We'll keep the Baxter stuff for a little bit later, but if you want to crack on with that.
The thing is, right, it's actually so funny that you mention how I'm a raver, I'm a party girl and all this, like, or at least I have been for my good 31 years of out of the 32 that I've been living, because this is how it all kind of merges together again. So I tend to go out with either a friend or I'd be with my partner, and I would always be with somebody when I'm heading home after a night out, right? However, on this occasion, this was the first time in a long time I was heading home after a night out on my own. And you know what it's like when you've got a few bevies in you, but in the likes of Inverness, you'll get home no problem. I think it's a really safe place in Inverness in terms of like jumping in a taxi and saying, can you take me here? Like there's really nice people out there. Same with Campbelltown. I feel like I can get home no problem. However, I was in Glasgow, heading back to Dumbarton, and that's daunting for me. But after a good few wines, I go on what I think is the train back to Dumbarton. And I fall asleep, because when you've had a few wines, that's what happens. And like, I'm in no way, shape or form unorderly or completely out of it drunk. I'm just sleepy after a few red wines. And I wake up and I'm not in Dumbarton, right? I'm miles away. And I have never been so embarrassed and quite drunk to the point where I just started crying. And this lovely gentleman was like, trying to help me. He managed to get me a taxi. And as the time goes on, I'm getting progressively a little bit more drunk as the air's hitting me. We're not in the train anymore. And we're waiting for an Uber and it's pouring rain and I have no jacket on because my mum would have been so upset, so unprepared. I then think it would be a really good idea to phone my mum and tell her about what's going on, because you've got to be safe. But it's 12:30 at night, 12:45. There's no more trains going on. You're with a random. You're a little bit drunk. You're waiting for a taxi. And it's not a great situation to be in. Long story short, I get a taxi. It's all fine. After £30. I get back to where I'm staying in Dumbarton. I go to bed and I wake up. And I remember absolutely everything. But you know what it's like when you have a drink? Like you go up. And then you come back down again. Yeah. And I have never felt such remorse and depression in my life that as a 30-odd woman, like I'm 30-odd years old, how can I not act responsibly. I was so mean to myself. I was so disappointed. Like, don't get me wrong, I was fine and I was carrying myself okay, but I was so disappointed. I was kicking myself. Claire, who I lived with at the time in Dumbarton, was like, just, but you're fine. You got home. You remember everything. Somebody helped you. You got a taxi. And I'm like, no, I can't have this anymore. So I went upstairs and I booked I booked Hamburg for Hinox there and then, and used that as an excuse to never do that again.
You have Ian as a coach at the
No, I told him afterwards. I was like,
time?
surprise! Guess what I'm doing in a few months? Because this was in April, and yeah, April, middle of April. And he was like, "What's brought this on?" I was like, "I got drunk last night. I'm really upset with myself, and it can't happen again. We can't have this ever. So this is what I need to use as a goal to stop me going out in silly sessions like that and actually acting responsible." So it has worked. And the thing is, once this Hyrox is done, I'm gonna have to book another. Because I can't be trusted.
It'll take over. I think there. I don't really know much about Hyrox, but is there not like a so for marathons? I don't know if you're aware. London Marathon, Tokyo, New York, they're majors. And then you get a special medal at the end. It's a whole part of a crazy person club. I think there might be something similar for Hydrox eventually, if there's not already, and you're going to go around all the different Hydrox of the world and end up with all these tattoos up your arm of where you've been.
There'll be something, I can tell you that for sure. I definitely want to try and do one a bit closer to home, but that was the only one I could get tickets for. And I was like, oh, well, looks like I'm going to Germany.
I
Oh,
think
well.
there is one in Glasgow, I think, or
In
Manchester or
March.
something.
Yeah. So there was no tickets available, but I needed to have it booked and paid for in order to be like, there's no going back now. So you better buckle up, Grace, and start wising up. And well, I have ever since. I've never been in that state of my life again.
I did joke beforehand about you are of a particular build, particular height compared to me. You've got the blonde hair, you've got the ponytail, and there's nothing more serious or scary about a focused petite blonde lady wanting to charge around, throw heavy-weighted balls, push weights, pull ropes.
Can't
That's
wait.
my idea of fear.
See, once you're in it, that's the thing. It is like you do get like proper, I don't know, angry, but good angry.
Rage,
Like
isn't it?
you're like, let's have this. Although they've just upped the wall balls from 75 to 100 for women. So yay, equality.
Now that'll be sound, especially being in a new environment, a different country. You've kind of you're out of your comfort zone as well.
I've been
That
told
will be so
it's where
fun.
it originated, so it should be quite interesting to see how it differentiates between Glasgow and
The home of
actually in
Hydrox.
Hamburg. So yes, it'll be good. I'm excited. It's motivated me for so much, and obviously the running's a big part of it because it's 8 kilometers essentially, and I'd say 85% is running.
You're going to have to change your handle. Once you've done it, you can't be
Well, somebody's
Wee
already
Finger
got Wee
anymore.
Toon Runner, so I'm gonna have to think outside the box.
I mean, it's Hydrox and Runner. You're going to have to be a combination. It's going to be a really long, long handle now.
I'm looking forward to it. I am, because everybody does say like it's a bit like doing 10Ks and marathons all the way up to the event. You are absolutely bricking it, and then afterwards, it's just all you want to talk about. Right now, to be honest, it's all I'm talking about. I don't have any other chat apart from running and Hyrox.
Yeah, running certainly does that. I've not really been so much involved with Hydrox, as I say, but if cross the whole CrossFit community is anything to go by, that's hi, I'm Grace and I'm into
Yep.
CrossFit.
If you went, oh hi, I'd be like, what did you say? Hydrox? Like, I'm doing that as well. It's so bad. But here, I would much rather have chat about that than what I was previously doing, which was just proper drinking every weekend. And I'm not gonna lie, I still have my social time. Like, I will still go out for dinners and drinks and cocktails with the girls. I just don't get in the states that I used to, and I think that's only a good thing.
You get them delivered to the house now.
I know, did you see that? Some
I
lovely company sent me a bottle of wine, and I was like, oh well, do you know what?
That's
Everything
the
in
sound way of doing
moderation.
it. If you do become anything like me, you do find because of the fitness, you're a little bit less inclined to drink because you don't want to have that grogginess in the morning. You don't want to have that vibe. You want to be fresh. So I'm mostly alcohol free now. I still drink. I'm not completely off the wagon.
You still need it for some of those days that we all get. So, but you'll see a massive improvement just in you. You probably have seen it in the last few months as well. Just your alertness, your how more awake you are, more energized you are.
It's such a shame that I wasn't doing this when I was doing the breakfast show on MFR because it would have made such a difference to my performance on the radio. I remember we were doing the Cash for Kids Superhero Day and we were all going to be doing some sort of running fitness challenge, but I couldn't do it. So we ended up turning it into a walk. Don't get me wrong, it was a really long walk, but that was purely because my fitness level wasn't an ability that they wanted it to be. And they're like, right, okay, you can't run, you can't swim, you can't cycle. We better just make it a really blooming big long walk, which we did. And I never recommend that for anybody, but it would have made a huge difference to how the radio sounded in the morning, that's for sure.
Well, you've now got the weekends. It's keeping you energized and keeping that lively.
It is. And I actually do an engine class on a Saturday and a Hyrox class on a Sunday before my show starts. So, I mean, that's how committed I am at the moment. So wow. it does actually really help the show because I do the class, I have my shower, I'm fully alert and awake. Whereas, see, if I had just rolled out of bed, like sometimes like you're so lethargic and tired, it does like make you do silly mistakes on air or not have the stuff in the computer properly or make you late. Like, yeah. So, I mean, it's, again, only a good thing to have these things in your life.
I just have this mental image of you coming into the studio, tanning a Red Bull and just going, fudge yeah, let's go.
Well, Carol from News, I've got lovely Carol from News. And I remember I was coming in and not having a shower. And she'd be like, you know, we've got showers downstairs. And I'd be like, oh, right. Yeah. She goes, there's towels there, there's shampoo there, there's everything there, Grace. You don't need to bring anything. You can just go down and use them now. Yeah. And at first I was like, well, that's really helpful, Carol, thank you. But I'm just going to go straight into the studio. And she's like, and eventually I kind of caught the drift that maybe I should go and get myself a wee shower. Because I was absolutely humming. But when you're with yourself for so long, you don't smell it.
You don't smell it. No.
I didn't realize. It's the same with my, like we're talking about trainers, like the amount I'm wearing my running trainers, like, and then I take them off and I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Shoe deodorant and another pair so you can cycle through your shoes. And then it'll help you help those shoes last longer if you've got other shoes you can cycle through. But that's where it gets expensive. That's where the new mortgage will kind of come in handy. But with running then, with running shoes, you have been the voice of the Baxter's 10K start for, I think we said 5 years, wasn't it, pre-chat? Although how did that come about and have you enjoyed it so far?
I will be honest with you, I don't know why they asked me. I think potentially somebody may have suggested me. Mm-hmm. And got the lovely team, I cannot fault them, they are so nice. We had Malcolm, who is obviously the head of it all.
Big Malcolm, hi.
Malcolm has been phenomenal, and he reached out to me at the very start, been like, you know what, we're really looking for a 10K host. Is this something that you do? Would you like to do it? Because obviously you're a voice of the Highlands Murray and Aberdeenshire that people are aware of, and it would be nice to have you on board. And he was just so blooming lovely. Like, you can't say no to that man. He's just genuinely sunshine and light. So I said yes, absolutely no problem. Don't get me wrong, I had only ever done Race for Life. So maybe because I had done that previously through MFR and the radio, I maybe had a little bit of background there. So I will say this, and it's no like bad words towards any other race. The Baxter's 10K, and I'm sure the marathon as well, I've never been at the marathon start line, is the most well-oiled machine. It is perfect. How it is organized, to how people take their roles very seriously and very professionally, it is so well put together. So I never fear when it comes to doing it. I mean, we go into our recces and we go through everything and everybody knows what they're doing, and I really commend that. So I love doing it because I never have to stress about anything. I love meeting people. It's been a shame the years where it's been absolutely torrential rain because obviously you don't get to mingle.
Everyone's hiding, yeah.
We're just trying to stay dry. And that we've unfortunately in the Highlands in September and October had that couple of years. But the years where it's not is people will come up and they will chat to you. Some people want shout outs for people run on their birthdays, anniversaries. Maybe it's their 10th 10K, who knows. Quite a lot of people travel from across the world, which I think is insane because it's such a well-known event. Like, people love doing this 10K and marathon. Like, the scenery is insane. So getting to meet people that have came from, I don't know, 12, 13-hour plane journeys, America, Kenya, all the way from New Zealand at one point. And I was like, do you know you can do one at home? And they're like, no, we need to tick it off the list. So it's so nice to meet people. And yeah, everybody's really up for it. I mean, they wouldn't be there if they weren't. There is the story about Megan Keith, though. So I don't know if you want me to tell you the story about Megan Keith and how much I
Fire
looked
on,
up.
no, not fire on.
This is the only time that I will say I was wrong. Is when I think it must have been either last year or the year before. And part of my job at the Baxter's 10K is to tell you, in fact, 80 to 90% of my job is to tell you to put your luggage on the luggage carts before they leave, right? And always somebody is not there on time and they've gone, or they don't have anywhere for it to go. And I do feel for people because some people are there on their own and maybe they just don't know. But quite a lot of the time we managed to sort it. And as the 10K was coming to a start, we were all lined up. We might have had 4 or 5 minutes to go. A lovely volunteer came over to me and said, you're going to have to take this rucksack. And I was like, I'm not taking the rucksack. And he was like, you'll need to know, this is it her rucksack? She should know better. Right. And I didn't know who it was, but she had a running top on. So she looked like she should have known better. And she's looking at me as if to say, take the bloody rucksack, right? Please. And I'm going, no, I'm not taking the rucksack. I'm not getting paid to take the rucksack. I was being what you would call an arsehole. I was trying to set an example, I suppose. I'd spent the whole morning telling folk to get it on the trucks and then, like, here's this person that's rocked up. And the volunteer said to me, but she's going to win it. And I says, well, it's very nice to have ambition and goals in life, but I'm not taking the rucksack. And then I was told, take the fucking rucksack, right? Well, nobody swore at me, right?
It was my brother, I'm surprised he didn't.
It
Yes.
was your brother. I was like, right, I'll take it. I'm not happy about it, but I'll take it. And then back to being happy, smiley face on the fight. Everybody, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good luck. See you later. Have a nice time. And part of my role and responsibility is to make sure that every walker and runner gets a goodbye from me and a good luck until the last person has crossed the start line. I still had a few to go, and your brother was like, you need to go. I was like, I've got the car. And he's like, no, but she might beat you. And I was like, I've got a car. And he's like, no, remember road closures, you'll have to go round. She's quick. And very nearly did she beat me. Me at the bottom with the rucksack, and she's literally across the finish line. I'm like, here, do you want to take your rucksack? Congratulations. So, Megan Keith, I apologize that I was rude to you. You did win it. And when I seen you on the TV going to the Olympics, of course, I called you my best friend on the radio and said that I knew you, like we were sisters, we were like that. No, I wasn't that rude to her. I couldn't believe that she actually did win it. And I've been a big fan of hers ever since. Like every time I hear her name, I'm like, she's really good. She nearly beat me and I was in a car. But it was just phenomenal. I can't. I'm close to saying it's what I would do in a 5K time is what she did for 10K. It was a
Thank you.
walk in a park. And then I think she ran home. Like, I
Yeah,
wouldn't
she
be
would have done.
surprised if she didn't run
Yeah,
home.
she would have run home as well because, like, you given context there, she for anyone else that doesn't realize who Megan Keith is, she's our very own Highland hero. She's an Olympian. She was over in Paris. And it is scary how quick she is. Ailish McCogan kind of took her under her wing at Paris because she looked like a poor rabbit in the headlights. It was just Highland girl from Inverness in the kind of mix of things. Long way away from the Baxter's 10K, though.
I know it. I remember her. Next time I see her in the street, I'll be like, Meg, remember me? She'll be telling me where to go this time.
You
But
are right though. It's a very quick event. It's probably, I think any of my friends that have been here have come up for it. It is the place you come if you want to run a PB. It's a very fast course and it attracts very fast runners. Personally, I've done the lead cyclist for the 10K in the past. I think it was the first time I actually met you in person in my Lycra, ready to go. And it is scary how quick these guys, you turn and you're looking over your shoulder and you've got to stay within eyeshot of them and they're catching you and you're on a bloody bike, your road bike as well. I can't go fast enough for they're catching me. What do I do? it is scary, but then you're seeing that as well on the marathon, how quick these guys are, because it's got that wow factor. It's the Highlands, it's Loch Ness, it's got the whole myth, the legend about it. You've now found yourself running the myth and the legend as a 10K. So not only are you doing the voice, you are then going, all right, Grace, on you go. Best of luck.
Well, I think I've only just asked to do it. So I think it must have been me and you were in cahoots for this.
Wouldn't it be nice
to do it since you're running? And I thought, next time. And that's the phrase I use a lot is, I'll do it next time.
Yeah.
And next time never comes.
No.
And I just thought, you know what? I'll just ask, right? Because it is hard every year, despite me not being a runner previous,
yeah,
to watch all these people doing it and not be a part of it and be like, right, see you later, I'm done. And then saying to yourself, oh, I wish I'd done that, like, if only. So even though I only had a couple of weeks to think about it, I think that was a good thing. And I asked Malk, I was like, listen, I will still do my job as professional as possible. That last walker, runner, whoever they may be, I will make sure they get the goodbye from me and I will join at the end, but only if you're happy with it. And he was more than happy to oblige. He actually said it's actually quite a good thing for me to know the course,
yeah,
so that for next year, there's things I can say on the microphone. It's a bit like research.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know a majority of it is flat. I think the first incline is when you set off and then it's all flat from there on. So, I mean, people would always ask me things like that, and I've only learned that throughout speaking to people. So if I know more about the course and what's ahead of people, then I can only feel a little bit more connected to the audience that I'm dealing with from now on. So it's a good thing.
It is a good, I'll give you that advice. People aren't lying. That first little incline, that is the death of you. That is the worst part about that course, is that little incline. You come around that right hander and you go up that little hill to the roundabout. No, it is the worst thing you can do. After that, it is plain sailing. And even then, you've picked up the mic in the past. You've given Mr. Scottish Passport, I've forgotten his name, a bit of a break, and you've done the end of the marathon.
I know him from Scottish Passport too.
Yeah.
No, nobody seems to remember this show. And I'm like, it was on at dinner time. Like, you would watch it whilst you eat your tea or whilst you waited for it to be on. Brian Burnett.
He doesn't age either. He still looks the same as he did on Scottish Passport. And every year you see him, you go, it's like he's my pal. You've seen him on TV. He's always there. He's always given the banter, but it's a long day and you've stepped in as well at the end. So it gives you that knowledge of, if you have to do that again, the 10K race for the first, I think it's 3K, is off the marathon route, and then it's on the marathon route. So you know what these runners are kind of experienced for the last 5K. You know what they're experiencing because you've run it.
I think being at the end was actually quite an eye-opener as well to, like, the physical ability that people are going through. Like, and also when you run past the chip, it tells me what you're running and who you're running for. And see some of the stories, it's actually quite inspiring. Like, some people are running for family members that have passed away, or a charity that's really close to them, or their 50th birthdays. Or somebody, yeah, just, like, there was a couple that got married, I'm sure, at the village the day before, like the running village that was set up down the bus. They got married and then the next day they ran a marathon together. And then they cross over in the finish line with their hands held together, and you're like, this is so nice. Like, it is nice. Like, don't get me wrong, I could see me doing a lot of different things after my wedding day. But isn't it nice for them? You also see a lot of people really pushing themselves.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, like, people want this. They want their PBs. They want to finish. And some of them do push it a wee bit too far. But it opens your eyes to, like, a whole different world when you're down at the finish line. So I've seen a lot of things, let's put it that way.
A lot of bloody nipples, that's what you've seen.
Can I just say that I've only just had my first ever experience with runner's nipples. runner's nipple for me. I was like, why is it so blooming sore? Oh, it's bleeding, right?
Yeah.
That's because you chafe. And for the men that go through what they go through, wow, the fact that you kept going. And that's part of the running chat that nobody ever really brings up too much.
No, it's not a topic I've had really, to talk about who puts on the Vaseline beforehand.
Well, do you know what? We have a group chat in one of the gyms that I go to, and it is all females. And then I said to the girls, I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I don't. And they're like, have you changed anything? And I says, well, I've bought a brand new outfit for doing the 10Ks. And they're like, that's the worst decision you could have possibly came up
Change
with.
anything. Yeah.
Like, whatever you've been doing for the last 3 months, wear that. And I was like, oh, but I want to look nice in the pictures. I want to look good at the start line. And they're like, wear the old stuff. And I'm actually so glad that I had that issue now rather than on the day being fully kitted out and brand spanking new gear. Like, don't get me wrong, I think shoes speak for themselves. Like, you would always break them in.
Yeah.
But when it comes to sports bras, t-shirts, leggings, shorts, give them a good bash beforehand and know what you're dealing with. Like, I'm purposely not wearing shorts because I always find that they roll up, and I'm glad I've tried and tested these. Like, you think fashion's easy, but it's not.
That's maybe a good topic to have in the future is because, well, obviously I don't know about sports bras, funnily enough, but you do get the guys get the anti-chafe running shorts, briefs. The women get them as well, but it's deciding what's comfortable. But then running a marathon in it is what works. It's different folks, different things. But not only are you running the Baxter's 10K, you've, as I've seen today, decided that in your infinite wisdom, you also want to run the AJ Bell Great Scottish 10K as well, which is only like 2 weeks after, a week after.
A week after, let's just remember the key phrase of at the very start when I didn't want to run, it was Ian Finlay that made me run. And it's the same with the Baxter's one. It's kind of your fault. You kind of made me do it. And it's the same for the AJ Bell Great Scottish Run. I was just chatting in the office about how I was hosting the Baxter's 10K. And I was like, oh, and I'm running it afterwards. And my boss, who's an avid runner, was like, oh, well, if you're running that, you'll run this one then. And I was like, all right. And he goes, yeah, because quite a lot of, like, we need somebody from on air to be like running. So that would be quite good if you went and represented. And before you know it, I'm signed up. And I'm like, right, well, looks like I'm doing two, and that is in the space of 2 weeks, like that I've signed up for two. And it is, as you say, Baxter's on the first Sunday, and then the following Sunday is the AJ Bell one. And I'm like, wow, where did this come from?
If it hadn't have been quite, I think, romantic, the fact you're doing your first one as the compere for Baxter's, I would have actually said you could have done the women's 10K in Edinburgh just last weekend. It was just yesterday.
Calm down. Calm yourself. I think two's plenty, and then I'm retiring. No,
No,
I won't
you're gonna have
retire.
a list as long as your arm. You're
I
gonna
will
tick them all off.
definitely see it as goals to have another one. I maybe wouldn't do two in the space of such a short space of time as I'm doing now. It's just the way it's kind of panned out, and it's good training for the HYROX, which of course is going to be 8 kilometers. And if I can do 10, then 8's going to be manageable. But I think in the future I will take it way more seriously than I had, because I've not really been training for a 10K. Like, I've just been running in the hope that it helps for when I go to like Germany. So if I do take it a little bit more seriously and sign up to one next year, whatever it may be, wherever it may be, then I'll have a little bit more of an insight of to how my pacing is working and how I can improve, and it'll hopefully be a little bit more professional.
Have you run a distance at all then yet? I haven't noticed if you have.
What do you mean, like,
Have you
as in
run
like an
10K
work?
as a distance on Strava?
Yes.
You have, so it's not going to be completely alien there. That's good. That's good.
No, don't get me wrong, I'm knackered. But I've done it a few times, and what's really frustrating about it is I keep hitting PBs. And that's fantastic, but I kind of want to save it for these 10Ks coming up. And again, it is like in different terrains and different gradients. So it's very difficult for me to try and see how to improve. I suppose that's the hindrance of being everywhere and traveling, is like you want to continue your PBs in the same area so that you know that it's the same thing, same place, and that's actually improved, rather than maybe going somewhere that's quite a lot of decline. And of course you're going to be faster, but I'm sitting under the hour, and that's what I'm aiming for. Under the hour is what I want. It doesn't matter what it is, but if it's a PB, brilliant.
I will give you the reassurance. Baxter's in its own, having run it, I know what the crowds are like. They're not like massive, but having other people around you running and having the crowds, they lift you so much that you will be running a PB there and you will think nothing of it. You'll come across the line and sure, you'll be tired, but you'll look back at some of your training runs and go, how were they so hard compared to what I've just done? you'll be tired going into the AJ Bell, but that's also good for Hydrox. Running on tired legs, running on tired body is very good training. But again, the crowds down there are just something else. You're going to be lifted, you're going to be levitating the whole way, and you'll be loving it.
I think that's what a lot of people have been saying whenever I like seek advice, is like your first couple of kilometers is going to go so quickly because you're going to be full of adrenaline and it's just going to be a different atmosphere. I suppose the only difference with the two is I feel like I'm not going to have quite a lot of congestion when it comes to the Baxters, because I'm going to see everybody off and I'm going to be like, right, bye everybody, see you later, bye. And then I'm kind of on my own and I've kind of got my own space, whereas the AJ Bell one, with it being 2 hours earlier at 8:30, that's going to be a bit of a shake. I'm going to be knackered, and then obviously I'll be quite packed because I'll be in it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that'll work, but here, all great learning experiences as far as I'm concerned. So, and whoever said that they didn't like doing the run, like whoever regretted doing a run after it, nobody.
You mentioned there you're under the hour. You are then going to be passing people. And I know that because one of my colleagues is running with her niece and their target is 1:20.
Okay.
And there's a lot of other people. They don't quite hit. Their targets are over the hour mark. So I wouldn't be surprised if you surprise yourself with how many people you do actually meet and some of the congestion that you might face.
You know what? There we go. So that'll set me up, I suppose, for the following week. And I'll know a little bit more of what I'm kind of trying to deal with. I am so nervous because whilst I've been doing these 10Ks practicing, I don't know if you do this. You might be like a total opposite that you're actually praising yourself. But I swear at myself in my head quite a lot and tell myself I'm an idiot for doing this. So I'm like, why are you running? This is the worst idea you've ever came up with. You're never going to be able to finish this. And it's always at 0.5 kilometers. Yeah. And I'm like, I still have 9.5 to go. And then I think to myself, I just need to get to 3. And once I'm at 3, before you know, I'm at 3.5, and then I'm at 4. And then I'm at 5. And once I get to 7, I only have 3 to go. And I keep the zero, like, see on Strava when you've got that wee robot going, you're at 0.5 kilometers now. That is the most helpful thing that I've ever came across in my whole entire life. It's just, it's keeping you right. It's not that bad. And I keep telling myself, it's an hour of my day.
Yeah.
What else could I do in an hour?
You're getting a medal. You're getting a tin of soup at the end of it. Well, you're not getting a tin of
soup. The only reason
I'm
doing it is for the soup. The free complimentary soup is the only reason I'm turning up.
The complimentary soup at the end, the tin of soup you're going to get in your goodie bag, and probably a couple of sachets as well. You're going to be sorted
man.
For the week.
And I tell you one thing I will be taking advantage of, and I hope it's there this year, is there's like a massage tent.
There is, yes.
I will be like, touch me, rub me, do whatever you need to do. I am buzzing. And there's also, and this is probably the best thing about running, is there's a bottle of wine in the fridge for me. So I am looking forward to that. As I say, once you've done your run, you've had your shower, you're kitted out and you're ready, you take your seat, you have your hot chocolate or your wine or whatever you've treated yourself to, and that's when you know. And it's such a lovely moment. And that's the moment where you go on Google and you Google 10Ks near me, and then you book your next one. It's so bad.
Yes. Yes. Every listener that is a runner just now will be nodding and in agreement. It is exactly what happens. Usually, I'm never running again. 10 minutes later, you're in the bath. Where can I run next?
And it's so weird because it's like the polar opposite of when I would go out binge drinking, because I'd go out and be like, yes, I'm drinking the night. And then tomorrow I'd be like, I'm never drinking again.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have a hobby that pays off. It genuinely does. I hate it, but I love it at the same time, like you said at the start.
Yeah,
it's a very bitter, weird relationship. But I'm glad I've started running. I'll probably not stop because I'm not going to be a half marathon gal. I'm not going to be a marathon gal, but I'm quite happy doing your 5 and 10Ks. And I'm more than capable of doing it. I never thought I ever could be. I was hugely daunted by anything. And it just goes to show you that you can do it. Like I say, it's not even been a year and I'm doing these kind of things. What could I do in an actual year? So I'm excited to see what kind of progress I can make, because every time I think I can't run faster, I obviously can. So It just takes time. And I always say to Ian Finlay, my PT, I'm like, how can I get faster? And he's like, you've just got to keep on running. More time on
More
your
time
feet.
On feet. So never say never to a half marathon. I won't put that pressure on you, or a marathon. More time on the feet. It just gets, you just end up running and running and running. And then before you know it, you're a crackhead.
I can fully believe that.
Right. I'm going to let you get off now. Before I do, can you let the folks know where they can find you if they want to follow what you're doing, where they can hear you on a weekly basis, and just everything you've got going on?
Well, right now I'm just kind of drawing Strava willies in Glasgow Green. So no, I'm on Instagram, and I kind of don't do TikTok anymore. So Instagram, and you'll find me on Facebook, Grace Nicol on Facebook. More than happy to chat there. Instagram, Wee Toon Girl, because I am a girl from a wee toon, which means small town. And yeah, I'm on Strava as well, if you're on that as well. So you'll find me, Grace Nicol, and you can find it via my Instagram. And if you want to listen on the radio, I am on Heart of Scotland 12:4 Saturday and Sundays. And if you ever watch E4, More4, or Channel 4, every now and again you'll hear my voice introducing programs. So you just got to be careful, because I could pop up anywhere.
Bake Off tomorrow?
No. I know. We do have special events kind of scattered in amongst it. So I'm in one or two of them, and also another Invernessian girl called Kelsey Bennett, who lives in London. So she and I have been doing a few things together, which is for Married at First Sight as well. So if you're into maths, there's quite a few of us popping up there. But on E4 and Channel 4 throughout this week. So yep, TV and radio just slowly but surely taking over the world.
And that's where everyone listening is now gone, oh, that's where I know the voice from. Oh,
it's cool, because I didn't know Channel 4 and E4 were like on like Australian telly, it's like when we scroll right down to the very bottom of the sky planner and there's some TV channels that we don't really know. It's the same for Australia, so like, and Canada. So I didn't realize that some people actually have heard it in various different places of the world. But also keep your eye on BBC Social, because I've got a really weird and really good idea for this running video. Like, don't know where it came from, but
you should totally go for that. Go for that. You've got the connections. I would love to see it.
Fingers crossed it gets commissioned. And of course, if you're running any of these 10Ks in the near future, then I'll be at them, not just this year, but next year as well.
Baxters, go along and see Grace, get your selfie. Best of luck with everything. And I will be keeping a track. I'll be admiring those willies from more willies, the better.
Yep, I'm getting really good at them now.
You are getting better at them. They've actually got every part of it now. But yeah, best of luck with Hydrox. And if you're still around on Sunday, I will, of course, come and congratulate you. But if not...
Thanks. I do go a very dark shade of red. I'm absolutely fine. It's just the way I go. So if you see me and you think, geez, oh, is she alive? I'm very much so. And just give me a minute and I'll be grand. But it's all with the love of running. Everything.
You've also not turned into a Lauren sausage, as you once compared yourself to.
I don't know, still quite Lorny. It's weird, because like the red that I go is like a total big circle around my forehead. Like there's a defined line where it goes pale to bright red. It's just pure oxygen. But it's one of these things. You take the rough with the smooth, don't you?
Selfies at the start, not at the end.
Exactly. Please take the selfies when I look cute. But if I'm not at the end gasping for air, I'll be tucking into my Baxter soup.
Good. Right. Once again, thank you very much, Chris. That was an absolute delight.
Thank you so much for having me.
You'll literally be hearing that lass's voice everywhere now. Be sure to drop Grace a follow on socials, wish her all the best with Hydrox, and obviously tune into her Heart Scotland show every weekend for all the best banter and hottest tunes. Before we start looking to shut things down for this episode, I just want to wish everyone all the very best with the events this weekend, whether it's the Baxter's Festival, whether it's the Berlin Marathon, or anything else that's taking place this weekend. Have a blast. There's no luck involved here. You've put in the time, you've put in the effort. What will be, but have a blast while you're getting on with it. Like a spider with a fly, it is time to wrap it up. Thank you as always for joining me today, downloading and streaming the podcast. I say it every week, but it is the best way to support the show. And it has, as always, been a delight to get this episode out to y'all. If you enjoy the pod and you'd like to show your support even further, you can support us by purchasing one of our t-shirts from our merchandise partners over at Twisted Running. All the money goes to Twisted. It's about supporting a self-made brand that are doing amazing things for the running community. There's been a little bit of movement on our pre-order. It may or may not be up now. I'm not sure at this point, given how early in the week I'm recording. It should have been on socials, but if it's not up, it will be coming very soon. The guys are working on it. I'm just letting them get on with it in their own time, though. They've got a lot going on. When the time comes, pop over to the Twisted Running website. You can find a link on their Insta profile, on Google, or on our website, the.99podcast.com. The show is available on all major podcast platforms and on our website via the inbuilt player on the episodes page. If you also want to listen to us on YouTube, they have us on YouTube Podcasts, but also on YouTube as a whole with a bit of a fancy graphic in the background. Finally, you can follow us on Instagram by searching for the .99 podcast. If you want to get in contact, you can drop us a DM there or email me at the.99podcast@gmail.com. That's the.99podcast@gmail.com. You can also find my accounts at Mr_Steve_runs for running content. Find out how I get on with Baxter's there. Or I'm_Mr_Steve for everything else that I'm getting up to. As usual, keep an eye on the stories for who might be lined up for the next episode, episode 4. But until then, I hope you stay safe, enjoy your runs, and you will hear from me soon.